Well, I had my sermon ready last night, and the sermon I'm preaching this morning is not the sermon that I had ready last night. Normally, I do not necessarily preach on what is going on in the world today, because a lot of times we come to church to take our focus off of what is going on in the world today and put it back onto who it needs to be on. This morning's going to be a little bit different. Today our world, or at least our country, is being torn apart by a lot of different problems. But one of them that is at the forefront is racial tension. And this morning we're talking about, today is the anniversary of the church, the day of Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit came to indwell believers. And that's what my sermon was going to be on this morning. And so this morning I'm going to preach this sermon. It's called The Miracle of Pentecost. Today, one person looks at another and they see an officer who killed someone just like him. Someone else looks at a person and sees a looter, an unruly person. We look at each other, we judge each other. We remember the wrongs of the past and we attribute them to the other. There's a popular phrase, no justice, no peace. We mourn for justice. We desire justice. We seek justice. Justice is often not found. Peace, not discovered. Our world today is on shaky ground. There's a lot of pain, a lot of heartache, a lot of confusion. What does God have to say about all this? What does Jesus have to say about all of this? That's what I hope to answer this morning. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50, it says, while he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside, seeking to speak with him. And one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. Jesus is teaching to the multitudes, right? And the family. Hey, what are you going to be done? We want to talk to you about something. Jesus gives this incredible answer that is a window into the way that he thinks about things. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? What a profound answer to such a simple request. Hey, pay attention over here. Your family wants to talk to you. And his question was, back to him, who is my family? He he stretched out his hand towards his disciples and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Who is my family? Jesus is beginning to challenge this concept of fidelity, of allegiance. If we take off the layer of racial problems, what lies underneath of that is a problem of identity. Who are you? What group do you belong to? And here Jesus is starting to challenge that concept of you belong to your parents. Who is my brother? Is the question he asked. And he answered it. He said his brother is the one who does the will of his Father. In another passage, Matthew chapter 10, verse 35 through 38, Jesus says this, "For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be of those of his own household." I hope that doesn't make you feel good. Like, this is the exact opposite of what we teach our children. Right? We teach them to honor their father and mother. We teach them to obey their parents. What is Jesus saying? "For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household." And then he gives us the answer. "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." What does that mean? Is Jesus just a rabble-rouser? Going against societal norms up to upheave society and civilization and a revolutionary? Jesus came to make peace possible. Jesus came and made peace possible. Oftentimes we look for reconciliation and peace through government. When somebody does something we don't like, we run to the government and say, "You tell them to do it." And when they do, we say, "Yes, justice." And the other person says, "Injustice." There is no peace in the law. The law does not bring peace. We'll get to that in a second. Peace comes through reconciliation. Reconciliation only comes through the blood of Christ. Reconciliation comes through the blood of Christ. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, "Therefore remember that you once were Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, and that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." You were the other. You were the bad guy. You were them, and you had no hope. That's us. We were the Gentiles. We are not the Jews. We are the Gentiles. We were the uncircumcision. The Jews were the people of God. We had no hope. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, both the Jew and the Gentile one. The uncircumcised and the circumcised, he has made one. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body, through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we have access by one Spirit to the Father. Jesus came and bore our sins on the cross, and he broke down the wall of separation for all people. Now all of us have access to peace through Jesus Christ. And now he's made both the Jew and the Gentile one. All who are of the faith of Abraham are the people of God, whether they're Jew, whether they're Gentile. In his own flesh, he abolished the hatred, the enmity, the strife that was between the two groups. That he might reconcile them both to God in one body, through his death on the cross. Romans 8, 1 through 4 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." And what the law, government, could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I want to unpack that for a minute. What does it mean, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus"? That's exactly what it means. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But there is a qualifier: who do not walk according to the flesh. but according to the Spirit. Here's the picture that's being painted. Beforehand, we were enemies against each other, the Jews and the Gentiles. One was the people of God, the other was the heathen, the sinner, the reprobate, the evil one, the bad people. In Christ, He made all one. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ and we take on the debt that He died for us, we are set free from sin. And we have access into this grace wherewith we stand. And that standing is important because now when somebody else looks at me, it's no longer me. But Christ has set me free. He has paid the penalty for my sin. And so when I go to my brother and say, hey, remember that thing you did? Remember that evil person you are? He says, no, I don't. I'm a new person. Your condemnation of me is no longer valid because Jesus Christ paid the penalty on the cross. And I'm free of that. That is no longer who I am. The law cannot make us good people. The law cannot forgive us. The law cannot reconcile us. Government cannot pass any laws to make peace. It isn't possible. But God can make peace. And He did that by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled. He lived the perfect life so that we could use Him as our substitute. For those of us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So here we have this new way of doing things. Here we have peace made possible. Not according to the flesh, only according to the Spirit. But we must answer this question. This is the question, and the whole crux of the matter lies on this issue. Where does my loyalty lie? Where is my identity? Who am I? In 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 and 10, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. God has given us, through His Son, a better brotherhood. And I would say even a true brotherhood. If I look at you and we share common characteristics, maybe we have the same skin color, maybe we have the same hair color, maybe we have the same eye color, whatever. Those characteristics don't make us one. But when we come to God in Christ Jesus, that bond makes us one. And that bond is more important than any other. As Jesus said, who is my brother and sister and mother? It's the one who does the will of God. In Christ Jesus, we have a better brotherhood. In Christ Jesus, we have a better country. Hebrews 11, 13 through 16, after the hall of faith, a list of people who'd have done all of these wonderful things in faith, it says this, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. And therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. God has prepared a place for us, a place of peace, a place of harmony, a place of reconciliation. And the only way to get there is through his Son, by receiving the sacrifice that Christ made and receiving the forgiveness that Jesus purchased for us and in extending it to my brother. Extending it to my neighbor. I want to close with this. Through Christ, we have a better brotherhood. Through Christ, we have a better country. And through Christ, we have a better ministry. Government is God's minister of justice. And people look to government to solve all of their problems. And it can't. It's not designed to. It's only designed to punish evil. It's not designed to provide peace. But we have a better ministry than the ministry of justice, and that is the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 21, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if Christ died for all, then all died. Now I want to unpack that a little bit for me. If Christ died for all, then all died. When my brother or my enemy has hurt me, has done wrong against me, or my family, or my community, and there is deserving a punishment, there is deserving justice, there is deserving a death, then I must judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. If I've received the sacrifice that Christ has made on the cross, then that is enough. That is enough. If one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their sins, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The path to peace is through righteousness. The only way to have peace is to be righteous. And the only way to be righteous is in Christ Jesus. That's the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And now we have a responsibility to tell people around us that we have a better ministry. There is no justice. There is no peace except through Jesus Christ. Government can punish evil, but government will not bring peace. Government will not heal hurts. Only Christ. When we give up our vendetta, when we receive Christ as our Savior, when we receive His forgiveness and forgive others, then He makes way the path of peace. And the fruit of that is righteousness. And the fruit of righteousness is peace. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, You have given us wisdom beyond our knowing. You have helped us to see Your plan from the beginning. You do not delight in discord. You do not delight in evil and hatred. But You delight in what is good, in what is right, in what is holy, in what is beautiful. You delight in mercy. You delight in grace. Lord, we need Your mercy. We need Your grace. And Lord, we need to extend that to the people in our families, our neighbors, even people that we see as our enemies. But first, Lord, we need to receive it in and of ourselves. We need to die to self. And we need to recognize that our life now is not to be about reconciling, or I'm sorry, it's not to be about finding justice for past hurts, but it's to be about reconciling those who are hurt through the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have broken down the wall of separation through the cross. There are no more enemies. There are those lost and those found. And Lord, we see this morning that our country is lost, looking for something, peace, trying to find it in something that does not provide it, violence. Lord, I pray that we would give the gift that You've given to us, Your love and the ministry of reconciliation, that those around us might also find true peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.